Please turn with me to Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Begin reading in verse 1 and go to the end of verse 14 there. This is God speaking through the prophet, saying, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fact that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." And now our text for today, the last two verses, 13 and 14. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father." The mouth of the Lord has spoken, and may God bless his word to us. We come to a portion of our catechism dealing now with fourth commandment. Question 57 asks, which is the fourth commandment? The catechism answers, the fourth commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And that is taken from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Our catechism then asks, what is required in the fourth commandment? And you will see that the fourth commandment has been laid out by God in a positive way. The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. And there we see a reference to Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14, which was the second giving of the law. And there it was that God gave the same commandment, but with a differing reason. not only looking back to creation, but looking back to deliverance from slavery, giving this the slavery of Egypt, and giving them rest from that. That is what he was giving them, and it points forward to rest from sin in Jesus Christ. Now then, it's appropriate for us to look at, since we're going through the Ten Commandments in the Catechism, the Fourth Commandment. We're going to have a lot to say over a number of weeks on this. A couple of things we want to look at here that have to do with how we should be keeping the Sabbath day. In verse 13, we are to be seeking for and working toward a delightful Sabbath. And then secondly, we're to have joy in the Lord there in verse 14. Now, I've got to tell you, for 8 years, we were in the prophecies of Isaiah. And I preached this before, back in 2013. So this is a reused, restudied, but very appropriate sermon right now. I've called it Don't Trample the Sabbath. That's what God is saying there in the first verse we're looking at. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that is, if you don't trample the Sabbath, keep it as a delightful day rather. It is, first of all, holy to the Lord. See, he says right here in verse 13, it is his holy day. And we see in the commandment itself, both in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is holy to the Lord. When we see it given in Exodus chapter 20, it's in the context that we were just talking about of his creative power. And it reminds us that we are his creatures. We're under the necessity because he's made us for his own purposes, for his own glory. We're bound to love him, to obey him, to glorify him. And note that he says, remember the Sabbath day. It was nothing new. In fact, it goes back before there was sin. Because it is instituted, we see in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, where God speaks through Moses about the seventh day. God rested it and hallowed it. There are many people who say that the Sabbath no longer holds in New Testament times because it was only a ceremonial thing, only a type, a shadow, a form of redemption that is in Jesus Christ. But now that the reality has come, we don't have a Sabbath anymore. That might hold true if the Sabbath only had to do with our deliverance from sin and slavery to it that God talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But the Sabbath goes from before that. It goes back into a time when there was no sin in humanity. And so the sin is for all of mankind. It is not a picture of the redeemed and their rest from sin only by any means. This is why Jesus said that the Sabbath, that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man, meaning mankind, for humanity, not the saints, all of humanity. The Sabbath is made for them. As long as there is humanity in this life, there is the Sabbath commandment. And we are to remember it. It was not something new. Now, it's true. There is with the Sabbath day the aspect of it picturing a deliverance from slavery there in Deuteronomy 5, and this deliverance from Egypt was a picture of the church's deliverance from slavery to sin and the devil, which Jesus broke and smashed and ended by his redemptive work, his active obedience, earning righteousness for his people, and his passive obedience, dying for their sin, atoning for their guilt there at the cross. It speaks then of present realities. We have this salvation. We are his creatures, first created, then recreated in Jesus Christ. And there's a future aspect as well. The author of the letter to the Hebrews, whether it be Paul or somebody else, talks about this in the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4. The Sabbath speaks of future blessing and the completion of redemption in Jesus Christ that comes at his returning. Until that time, there remains the Sabbath rest for the people of God. So God here through Isaiah says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. If you do all this, then something comes of that that we'll look at in verse 4. But 14 rather. But let's look at a few things. It is so easy to go along as the world in our own flesh, prompt us to do, but we may not. We must not. We tend to think, well, I can do what I like on this day. After all, I spent an hour or two or maybe even three if we count Sabbath school at church. God's obligation or my obligation to him is taken care of. No, remember the Sabbath day. It is all day that is given to the Lord. We must not trample it down. Do you children know what it means to trample something down? It means to squish it with your feet, okay, as you walk over top of it. Think, for example, have any of you kids ever had fun with bubble wrap? I mean, it's fun to walk over it and then to stomp it and make it pop, right? And I see a few grins. It really is fun. I like to do it too. But you must not do that with God's holy day. It is not yours to walk upon. It is sin to do so. You must keep it in the way that he says to do so all the day. And you're especially obligated to do it because you are his child if you are in Jesus Christ. So you're not to trample it by your actions. You may not do as you please. It's not a day to be acting like you do all other days of the week. This is hard often for adults. This is hard often for children. We have things we want to do. We have things we like to do. In fact, sometimes there are things it seems almost like we have to do. But God says, no, do not do them. Do not do them. I've given you 6 days in which to do them. This day is my day. Don't do them. Don't trample them with your words. It's so easy to be talking about your own cares or delights instead of things directly pertaining to godliness. I used to sin in this way terribly. I still do less so. But it's very easy to get off onto talking about stuff that's great for 6 days of the week. It may be absolutely necessary in some ways on 6 days of the week, but it isn't on the Sabbath. I can remember, for example, back in Pennsylvania when I was a fairly young pastor, and there was a man in our church who was another radio nut. Ham radio and all, and we get talking on that, and I would get on myself about it, but do it again the next week. It's so easy to talk about this stuff, but it was not necessary. And by our words, we can trample on the Sabbath day, but we are not to be speaking our own words, God says right here. We must not trample the day in our hearts. How can we do that? By thinking, oh, it's so long. Oh, it's so boring. Oh, I wish I could put on a CD. Oh, I wish I could watch a video. oh, I wish I could be playing on my Xbox, or something of the sort. It's so easy to do. Oh, I've got projects I could be doing. Oh, this needs to be taken care of. I wish. Instead of fellowshipping with your God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is trampling in your heart. You're to call the day delightful, and you're to have such a spirit in your heart. Children, God willing, you'll get to find out about this if you don't already. But it is delightful to spend time with someone that you love. Now you don't, especially if you are a little child, you don't understand this as well, because you're always around people you love. And you like it well enough, but you're used to it. But it may be that someday, when you grow up, you will live in a different place. You may live far away from your brothers and sisters. You may live far away from your dad and mom. And in fact, someday, it's more likely than not, your parents will die before you do, and they won't be around. And you will think to yourself, how I would love to talk to my dad. How I'd love to speak to mom once again. Or maybe it will be children that for some reason having to do with, say, your job, let's say you're married, and you have to be away from your husband or your wife. You have to be away from your children, maybe even just for a few days. How you miss them. And how you are so glad to be home with them again. Is it boring? Is it stupid? Is it useless? Is it dumb? No! You love to be home with your spouse. Love being home with your kids again. And they love being with you. And we who are parents of grown-up kids, we know how this is like. They may live close by, but they may live far away. And on those rare occasions when they can get home, how hard it is when they want to go visit friends. Understandable, but it's hard. We want to spend time with them. We want them to spend time with us. And we don't want them to be thinking how boring this is, being with these old people. God wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants this day. And He wants us to delight in time with Him. He wants us to delight in Him. The day is to be kept special for rest and for holiness. Now, there are different kinds of rests that are included in here. There is physical rest. It is a day for getting some physical rest. God has made us body and soul, and we shall ever be body and soul. The final ending of our salvation is our resurrection bodies. So there is to be a physical rest. There is to be a rest from sin. Of all days to be kept holy, the Sabbath is the most. And it's a day to be resting in the righteousness of Jesus alone for our standing before the Father. And so we leave off this other stuff and spend time with His people, time in His Word, time in prayer. Does this mean we can't do anything else? Well, no and yes. There are things we can do that are special for the day that involve some things that we like. Godliness should not be something that we don't like, after all. So are you wanting to watch a video or a movie? There are godly ones that you can be watching. Do you want to listen to music? Nothing wrong with that if best of all would be recordings of psalms, or to be singing them with your family if you're at home, or singing them, well, with the people of God in church. Do you want to play with your toys? Well, there are ways of doing that, children. If you've got blocks or Legos or something like that, you can always be making Bible things with Bible stories, for example. Do you have books, or would you like to read? There are plenty of godly books, including the Bible, of course. But there is all kinds of useful stuff to be reading during the Sabbath day. As I've said, this holiness is to mark all the day, and especially as we come together as God's people, we come together to worship Jehovah through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we do specially on this day that is not done on the other 6 days. Now, perhaps you heard someone ask, trying to establish a point that there are no special days in Scripture, aren't we supposed to worship God every day? Well, we are to glorify God every day. And there is a secret worship that is by ourselves when we spend time all by ourselves in the Bible and in prayer. And yes, that's great daily. And then there is what we have in our family worship, where maybe we meet together, I trust we do, to read the Bible, and maybe some other godly stuff like a devotional book. And we sing psalms together as a family, and we pray together as a family, and that should be every day. In fact, some people do it twice a day. That's great. But we meet as the people of God, God's family, on one special day, and that day is the day that He has named, and the day that He has chosen, and the day that is His day, all day, for all His people together, and that is the Sabbath day. And by the way, it is the Sabbath day. It is God's holy day. It has another name too in Scripture, the Lord's Day. That's who owns it. That's the one to whom we are to give attention. It is never Mother's Day. Now, should we honor our mothers? Yes. God commands it. We'll eventually be getting to the next commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It is good to have a Mother's Day. Nothing wrong with that. But not on the Sabbath day. Families, you can easily do this the day before on Saturday. It's easily done. There is the Sabbath is never Father's Day. It is never Family Day. The Mormons may think so, but they all think they're going to be a family of gods someday too. No, it is not Family Day. Many of us can do that on Saturday. Some of us on a different day off. But the Sabbath day is the one day it may not be Family Day. It is Family of God Day, where we meet with the people of God and we spend special time not at amusement parks, not partying on a birthday, not anything of the sort, but the Lord's Day. He claims it and His name is upon it. Now, I've got to add, every single thing I've mentioned here is okay in and of itself. They're perfectly fine things. It's on what day we're talking about. Again, it's great to honor father and mother. It's great to bond together as a family. It's great to spend time with parents and children, brothers and sisters and all that. Wonderful. But it is not a day for family gatherings, family outings, family reunions, family anything. It is the Lord's day. and we are to delight in his company and in his people, not ties of blood, but ties of faith. This day preempts every other use, including those things that are good on any other day. Now, we have in verse 13 an if statement. If, dot, 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 and even you children know what comes next, then something else. It's what people that study grammar call an if-then statement or a conditional statement. So if you call the Sabbath a delight, you'll find your time with Jehovah delightful. Now, there are some things that are different between any of you and me. Some things that are different from you and everybody else here, too. You have different likes and dislikes. You have different physical conditions. You think about things different ways and all this. But there are some things we have in common if we're in Jesus Christ. And one of those is deep in. Sometimes it's stronger, sometimes not so strong. But deep in, we want more holiness. We would love to be more godly. And we want to know God better, and we want to love him more with the new hearts that he has given to us. That's something I know is absolutely the case in every one of you who is in Jesus Christ. Are you there yet? Nope. You're on the way, though. You want to delight in your God. Well, if you keep the Sabbath day, God says, you'll get to more and more. You'll get to delight in it. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall, not might, not can, not could, you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. We, by God's direction, have an investment of time, right? We invest in him at his command one day out of seven. Here's the dividend. Here's the payoff. First, there's joy in the Lord as we spend more time with him and get to know him better and better along with fellow believers. Second, here we have a promise of dominion, where God will use us to bring all things under Jesus Christ as we ride upon, as we conquer the high places, the strong places of the world. Third, here's a promise that will inherit the promises to Jacob. Land, seed, and blessing that were promised beforehand to his grandfather Abraham. These are ours as we are the true children of Abraham, as Paul points out to the Romans in chapter 4, verses 16 through 17 of that book, and in Galatians 3:29. These are pretty delightful things. They're wonderful promises. But how do we know they're true? I remember some years back, I was listening to a radio station fairly often, from down in Cincinnati. And they had these ads on for this guy who promised, you invest money with him, he would get you a return of at least 10% a year. Guaranteed it. Promised it. He failed. He was a crook. The radio station was in a lot of lawsuits because of it. And the man that did the commercial for this guy was in trouble because basically he told a lie. All kinds of promises made, but they were fake. They were lies. Oh, this sounds good. How do we know it's true? From the very last phrase in this verse. very last phrase in this entire chapter. The mouth of the Lord, the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. That's how we know the truth of this. Now, our own senses and our own thinking and the words and reasoning of other people might try to tell us differently. It seems we'd get ahead by working 7 days. Seems that way, doesn't it? But those who think that way forget about God's care, don't they? God promises to bless us if we'll set aside our normal 6-day callings and our normal, godly, perfectly fine recreations and yield the time to Him. He's spoken. That's the way it will be. Now, we'll be looking in subsequent times in 2 weeks. Normally, we'd be doing this again, but God willing, Judy and I will be at Cub McCoy, so there will only be one service. But in the next several times, we're going to be looking at stuff about the fourth commandment. In our catechism, it goes through question 62, and we need to be, we need to be emphasizing some things here in the fourth commandment, because we all have a tendency to do the opposite of what God says. He says, remember, and we forget. So we've got to be thinking about this, got to be putting it down, got to be remembering to keep the Sabbath day because it is God's holy day. We're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May it be that we will find all our rest in our Lord Jesus Christ and keep the day remembering His glorious resurrection. We'll be talking more in weeks to come then about why it is we do it on the first day of the week, not the seventh. We'll be talking about how we are, well, what is forbidden on the Sabbath day, and well, there will be several different issues, so look ahead for that. Study the Word yourself. See that this is true. This is what our church believes the Scriptures teach. Those of you who are members, you've bound yourself to that. So, let us remember, let's rejoice in, let us keep the Sabbath day. We will find our delight, our joy in the Lord in and through it. Amen. We're going to close up by singing from Psalm 84 again, this time part B. And oh, by the way, it was a blessed thing that we had the second part of Psalm 118c because it speaks of Christ's resurrection day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that resurrection is why we're on the first day of the week, not the seventh. When we were getting ready to go, Judy said to me, why is it that you didn't take the second half of that, because it would have, for the first service, because it would have really gone well into the second. Well, in Providence, so we did in our favorites. So let us rejoice in this day which the Lord has made, the Lord has given to us, this day of resurrection. And we'll think of that as we sing this second part of Psalm 84 that calls on God to look not at our own sin, but to look to the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ whom He has sent. Psalm 84b, let's stand for this and then the blessing.